Daniel chapter 4. Maybe younger readers, have a look at me with a big smile and you think you found it. Joe, well done. Slightly older reader, but that's fine. It's nice to smile. All got it. Good. So Daniel chapter 4, and I'm just going to read, look down to verses 4 to 8. We're hearing all about a king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Very strange name, Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what happened. Daniel chapter 4, verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. Over to Chris.
Thank you very much, Adam. I would love all the children to come to the front and take a seat on the mats at the front. If you're age below 18, you're allowed to come to the front. And James, you're allowed because you've got a baby. So come to the front. That's it. Take a seat. There's loads of room. Some more room over this side. Fantastic. Find some room over this side if you need to squash in. Great to see everyone. Now, guys, if you're on the steps, if you're able to sit down here, then you'll be able to see me. And also, you'll be able to see the screen. And actually, if we look at the screen, we'll see what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at a big Bible word. Now, it's important to say, this talk's not just for the children, it's for everyone. So I hope everyone's going to be listening up to what God has to say to us today. Now, guys, we're looking at a big Bible word. We're not just looking at one word. In fact, we're looking at two words. It's a bit like when you go to the supermarket and you get a two-for-one offer. That's what you've got today. Two big Bible words for the price of one. Now, this word is actually quite a short word. So it's not big in the sense of it's a long word, but it is a very important word. And the word we're looking at today is pride. Pride. And we're going to see what the Bible means when it talks about this word, pride. Now, to help us, first of all, I've got a quiz. Okay. Now, you've done a quiz like this before, so you should be good at this quiz. Okay. It's called Who's in Charge? Let's have a look. Okay. Who's in... Good answer, but first of all, let's have a look at the screen. Guys, who's in charge in this situation? Some of you are at school. This is an assembly at a school. Have a look at the picture. Who's in charge? Finley, who's in charge? That person who's talking. So the person right at the front there. Absolutely. And that's the head teacher or the teacher. They're the person in charge. You're absolutely right, Finley. Excellent. Okay, how about this one? Who's in charge on the bus? There's a big line of people here, queuing up. Alex? The bus driver. Shall we have a look? You're absolutely right. It's the bus driver. It's not one of these people, is it, on the side? It's the bus driver. Now, I want us to think for a moment. What might happen if someone else decided that they were in charge? So, for instance, say you're in your assembly, and suddenly, someone else in the assembly hall decided that they were in charge, and they stood up and said, "Okay, assembly is over. Everyone, go home." What would happen if that? What would happen if someone said that? What would happen, Heidi? Yeah, so they're not the teacher, are they?
Everyone would be happy.
Everyone would be happy to go home early, but it would be wrong, wouldn't it? And in fact, it would create quite a lot of chaos. And everyone would be walking in different directions. So it's wrong, isn't it, if someone else stood up when they were not in charge. Okay, how about this situation? What about if someone else drove the bus? What about if a baby was driving a bus and not the bus driver? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Well, for a start, they can't reach the pedals, so the bus wouldn't go very far. But we know that it's right to allow the person in charge to be in charge. And, guys, thinking that we're in charge when we're not, well, that's what pride is all about. Pride is about thinking that we're greater and more important than we really are. So, for example, if we're in the classroom at school or at Sunday school, and we're talking when the teacher's talking, we're talking over them. Well, in fact, that's a proud attitude. That's pride. Because we're saying what we have to say is more important than the teacher. Now, we all behave with a proud attitude. I do, you do, we all have pride in us. We all want to be bigger and greater than those around us. But even worse than that, we want to be greater than God. But the Bible is really clear. God is the greatest, not us. He's the one in charge, not us. Now today we're going to look at a story from the Bible. Adam started reading it from a book in the Bible called Daniel. And we're going to see what happened when a king thought he was greater than God. And it's a true story, and it's all about a king called King Nebuchadnezzar. Now that's a big, long name for a king, so we're going to call him King Neb. Is that okay? King Neb. And in fact, in a moment I'm going to ask someone to play King Neb. But first of all, I want us to think about this King Neb, okay? Now, King Neb, he was king over the largest country, the largest nation, the most powerful kingdom in the whole world. Does anyone know what it was called? I'm not going to ask you this time, Heidi. I'm sure you know, but you've answered. Anyone? Finley, did you? Okay, it's got a good name. It's called Babylon. Babylon. Can we say Babylon? Babylon. It sounds powerful, doesn't it? Babylon. King Neb was king over Babylon. Now, here's a question. Put your hand up. It's for everyone. Put your hand up if you know the name of this building. Who knows the name of this building, Graham? The Shard. Who here, put your hand up if you've been up the top of the Shard? No, I haven't, actually. Has anyone been? A few people? Doug's been up. Did you take Olivia? No, so I shouldn't have asked that. I should not have asked that. The Shard. The Shard is the tallest tower building in London. It's massive. You can see it from all around. Now, raise your hand up if you've been at the Shard. If you've been at the Shard, anyone here? No, don't. Kirsty, what did you think when you went up the Shard? What was your reaction? Feel a bit sick going on the top, but when you're at the top, I expect you go, wow, what an amazing view. Isn't London amazing? And London is amazing, isn't it? We've got amazing buildings like the Shard, Buckingham Palace. Now, Babylon was a lot like London. Here's a picture of Babylon, what it may have looked like. Babylon was a huge, great big city. It had impressive buildings, statues, gold. And the man in charge was called King Neb. He was the most powerful man in the whole world. Now, I'd like Adam to come up, because Adam is going to play King Neb for us. So, King Neb, here's your crown. And then we're going to put this on as well. Your robes there. Fantastic. Oh, it fits well. Fits very well. Doesn't King Neb look powerful? So this is King Neb. Now, one day, King Neb, he went to bed on his throne. And he had a dream. Now, this was his dream. I need a volunteer, actually, to help us. Let's have... Come on, Finley. You're doing lots today, but I think you can do this really well. King Neb had this dream, okay? He dreamt of a large tree. that reached far into the sky. So we're going to build that tree. Can you help me bring these boxes over? Now put that down the front here. Let's build the biggest tree we can. So put that next. Fantastic. Okay, got a couple more there. Do you want to build those up? Brilliant. And put that one on top. Okay, we've got a lovely big tree there. King Neb dreamt of a really tall, huge tree. It towered up and reached into the sky. The tree provided shelter for the animals. Also, the birds and different animals came and lived in the branches. So, we've got some birds here. Finley, do you want to put this onto the tree? There's some little sticky bits. So, the birds came and nested in the branches. There's a bird. And it also, as well as the birds, grew beautiful fruit on the tree. And we've got a few bits of fruit there. Do you want to stick those bits of fruit? So, bits of fruit here. Here we have. Fantastic. Well done, Finley. It's not all going to stick. One more piece there. Velcro's not sticking. Let's just put that there. So we've had these birds nesting in the tree. We had fruit also grow on the tree. Then, in the dream, a messenger from heaven ordered the tree to be cut down so that only the stump was remaining. Now, this is an important part, Finley. I want you to knock the tree down. Fantastic, brilliant. Very good. Finley, do take a seat. The tree was knocked down to the very bottom. Only the stump remained. Then the messenger said this. Let his mind be changed from that of a man. And let him be given the mind of an animal, so that the living may know that God is in charge. The king suddenly woke. He was very worried and concerned about what he had dreamt. And he called together all of his advisors. Come on. The advisors came and the king told them the dream. But do you know what? These advisors were rubbish. They didn't know anything. They couldn't say anything about the dream. And so he sent them off. But there was one person who could help him. Now, do we have anyone here called Daniel? Do we have any? Daniel, would you like to help us? No. Daniel doesn't want to help us. Maybe Daniel's daddy. Let's have... No, do you want to come up? There was one person who could help. His name was Daniel. The king called for Daniel and he told him the dream. And with God's help, Daniel was able to understand the dream. When Daniel heard the dream and when God explained it to him, he was terrified by what he heard. And this is what Daniel said to the king. O king, the tree is you. You are very strong like that tree. But just as God cut the tree down in your dream, he will cut you down. You will live in the fields and will become like an animal, eating the grass. Then you will know that God rules over you. Daniel told the king that if he acknowledged God, then it may be that he wouldn't be cut down. He may be able to keep the kingdom. But the king didn't listen to Daniel or take the message of the dream seriously. Come sit down, Noah. Thank you very much. 1 year later, the king was walking across the roof of his palace. He looked out across Babylon and admired all of his work. And then he said this. Look at this incredible city that I have built for myself. I am totally amazing and very, very powerful. No one tells me what to do. At that very moment, God spoke to him and he said, because you are so proud, King Neb, I am taking away your kingdom. You will become like a wild animal living in the fields. And that's exactly what happened to the king. The king went to live in the fields with the animals. His crown was taken. His robe was taken. His hair grew long and knotted. His nails, they grew really, really long, like bird's claws. And he ate grass like cows do. Finally, at the end of the time that God had set the king, King Neb lifted his eyes and he understood that it was God who was in charge. And instead of praising himself, he praised God and he said, I praise God Almighty, his kingdom lasts forever. He always does what is right. He brings down those who think they are above him. King Neb realized that it was God who was truly in charge and more powerful than him. And God restored him back as king over Babylon. And once again, he took charge just as God had promised. Well, fantastic. Thank you. Let's give Adam a round of applause. That was fantastic. Guys, that's a great story from the Bible. You can find that in Daniel 4. It's a fantastic story. But the Bible says this. The Bible says that we're all like King Neb. We all have this proud attitude. This attitude that says that we're greater than God. That says, I'm the greatest. I'm the one in charge. And this proud attitude comes out in different ways. I wonder if you can recognize any of these things. In Sunday school or at school, you poke fun at someone, you make a joke, and everyone else around laughs. Do you know what? That's being proud. That's wanting us to look better than others, putting others down so that we can make ourselves look good. Or when we win a sports tournament, it's so tempting to run up to the other team and gloat and say, ha ha, I'm the best, you're rubbish. But again, that's us seeking to put ourselves above others. And for us, adults, when we gossip and talk behind other people's backs, putting people down, or I don't know about you, but I definitely do this, when we celebrate secretly when someone doesn't do so well, because it makes us look better. We all do that. And it shows us that we have this pride, this proud attitude within us that wants us to put ourselves above others. If we're honest, we all know that pride that we have in our hearts. We're all like King Neb. But the bigger problem is we don't just do this to others, but we do it to God. We seek to put ourselves above God. And what the Bible says is that we need humility. Now, you remember at the beginning I said there was two words. So this is the second word, humility. It's what happened to King Neb in the story. He was humbled. He recognized that God was the one in charge, that he was under God. That's what humility is. It's the opposite of pride. So pride is about putting ourselves high above God. Humility is about seeing ourselves in our right position under God. King Neb thought he was above God, and God brought him low. And do you know what? The problem is we're all naturally proud. And like King Neb, we can't change it ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we can't change that attitude. Like King Neb, we need God to act to cause us to be humble. Now, guys, to me, that doesn't sound very good. I don't want what happened to King Neb to happen to me. But, guys, this is the amazing thing. This is the amazing thing that I want us to remember today. Because God has already acted. However, he doesn't make us low like he did with King Neb. Instead, he makes himself low. God, the King of the universe, the rightful King, the one who created all of us, everything we see, stepped down from his throne and came into the world that he created in the person of Jesus. He came into the world and he washed the feet of his disciples. He came into the world and he was nailed to a cross and died for all of us. And you know what? God did that for you and me. It's the most amazing act of humility we'll ever know. And when we grasp and understand the humility of Jesus, when we see how far he went for us, how he made himself low for us, when we trust in him, that's what will transform our hearts from hearts of pride to hearts of humility. Guys, I just want to finish off with three questions really, really quickly to end. And guys, you've listened up really, really well. Firstly, can you see the pride in your own heart? Can you recognize the pride in your heart? Secondly, do you know the distance that Jesus went from for you? He went from being high, the highest of heights, to the lowest of lows for you. And finally, will you put Jesus in his rightful place as King of your life? Thank you very much for listening. I'm going to hand back to Adam.